Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels Crusade.
It's about the true money on the True Money Show. Hello, everyone. I am David Simpson, your host for the next two fantastic hours of financial planning. Now, you know what? It's never that boring. I'll never just stick to the money side of things. I'm coming to you from the Bulldog Kia studio of the Crusade Channel King Size Truth from radio size speakers. All the people are diligently out there working to bring you this fine production and to make it really, really good. You can call and add your voice to the airwaves, and I'm going to give you the number, even though it's lately been an effort and futility, but I'll try again anyway. 844-527-8723. 844-5-CRUSADE for those of you who like to spell. And then there's also the Call Crusade Now button on the app if you're listening via the app. A live show today. I will prove it. I don't like to do this. I do it all the time, but I started thinking about it when I hear my reruns. When I hear my rebroadcast, live show today, this is April 12th, 1967. You know, it's not so live. It doesn't matter. I'll say what it is. Today is March the 7th, 2018. It is 3:03 p.m. Central, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, right here during your drive time. So I am ready to take your calls. I have my email open as well, david@tffco.com. I had lots of emails last show, very few. I don't know if I had one call last show. I might have had one call. I don't remember. So I got a lot on the show, but I want to start off on a serious note. But let me say what's on the show, then I'll get to the serious email I got from a fellow crusader who needs our prayers. So we'll get to that in just a second. Let me tell you what's on the show. We're going to do a This Day in Money History. I always do a This Day in Money History. This one is somewhat interesting. It's not so much a money history thing as an invention history. I've got the sad tale of Lisa Marie Presley, which I'll kind of use as my discussion point for my financial question of the day. I've got an article about the working poor. This is an old article, but it's still very, very apropos to everyone out there who's feeling that their paycheck just doesn't go where it used to go. We're going to talk about Bitcoin a little bit. Everybody likes Bitcoin. The Bitcoin. What's up with Bitcoin being down? Well, there's a lot of theories out there, a lot of speculation. I got one little article on it about just their whole, the purchasing is drying up. But I think it's something different, and I'll get to that. And when we get to that segment of the show, I've got a letter from a fellow crusader in need we'll talk about in just a second. I've got my financial thought of the day. I've added that as a new segment to the show. I've also, as always, have my financial question of the day. So let's get to that first. Financial question of the day. I put this out in my email when I announced my show. Speaking of that, if you'd like to be on my email list of, Dave, when are you going to be doing a live show? I email that out to my entire list every time I do a show. And so if you'd like to be on that list so you'll know when I'm live, so you know, maybe you have a financial question, you want to talk to me personally, you can call in. Well, then just get on my list. It's very simple. Email the same address I said earlier, David@tffco.com. That's David at Tom Frank, Frank Charles Oscar.com. Or if you're military, let me see if I can remember these. David at Tango Foxtrot Foxtrot Charlie Oscar.com. But I'm pretty good. Boy, that's, some of those things just never go away. You know, lately I've been having trouble remembering things. I told my wife I think I'm losing my mind. But sometimes there's things I just don't forget at all. And I don't know why that is. Anyway, question of the day was this. Health, wealth, or what? What is the most important thing to you in your life? You want to ring in on that idea, health, wealth, or what? What is the most important thing in your life? Well, I'm going to tell you, I bet you one of our listeners, Tony B., wrote this to me and Mike. I think it shows lots of different things, but I'm going to read you his email first, and then we can talk about praying for him. So he says, hey, life's been a bit hectic around here. I wanted to give you an update, plus show that prayers do work. My saint of a wife, Carla, went into early labor with our fraternal twins about 2 weeks ago. They were at that time 17 weeks premature, by the way. God and the doctors were able to stop the delivery for about a week and a half. They had my wife in bed upside down. Jeez, I'm using gravity to keep both babies inside. When we arrived at the hospital 2 weeks ago, the doctors told us they could do nothing for the babies if they were delivered before February 26th. We prayed to God every moment to keep our babies inside of Mama until the doctors could do something. Then on March 1st, baby Alexander, so what's that, 5 days after? Oh, no, not even five. It's 4 days, I guess. 3 days, 27, 28, yeah, first. Three to 4 days later, baby Alexander decided he wanted to enter the world and started to slide down and out. This time, the doctors were not able to stop the delivery for Alexander, and he was born at 1 pound, 4 ounces. He sent me some pictures, and you know how that is, a beautiful little baby, but so, so, so tiny. And it's just it just scares you to death. I started to get emotional just looking at it because, you know, you love your children and you see a poor little baby like that in such distress and it just breaks your heart. But this is what Tony says. Back to Tony. He is currently doing well in the neonatal unit right down the hall from us. He is very premature and we continue to ask God to bless him and to give him some peace, some grace rather. After Alexander was born, baby B decided he wanted to continue to cook inside of Mom. The doctors were able to stitch her up and allow the baby to continue to grow. We were hoping he decides to stay inside until closer to the June 25th due date, the actual due date. So what was my takeaway from this besides a beautiful story, a wonderful testimony of God's grace and the faith of a couple of parents? But this is what I said was a crusader in need. So we have people all over the world that listen to this network and across the United States and Canada, and we're becoming a family, as I told you we would if we hang together. And so, you know, Tony sends me and Mike this. I don't know why. He feels connected to us through the Crusade Channel. We feel connected to him. And so I'm going to ask the listeners to pray for these babies, for the doctors, for the nurses, and, of course, for the wonderful parents of these two wonderful new souls that have been brought into the world. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I take away from this is let's thank Tony for sharing with the Crusader family because he obviously knows that two prayers are better than one. Well, we're going to have a lot more than two praying for you, Tony. As a matter of fact, we'll say a little prayer right now for baby Alexander and for baby B, the next one coming down the pipe there. That they'll be blessed and graced with health, wealth, and happiness and holiness and all those wonderful things. So we'll just ask our Blessed Mother to pray for these babies. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, told you to start from a little bit of a heavy note, but that's not too heavy. Just a wonderful little story. Like I said, I love the Crusaders communicating with us. If you're out there, you want to call in, you want to say a prayer for Tony or anything else, wish him the best, 844-527-8723. You may write in to me, david@tffco.com. Wow. Okay, I see. I already getting emails out there. How nice is that? That is just so wonderful. Well, you know what that means? Let's open up the old financial report card. Not report. What am I saying? Financial weather report. Let me get my wording right here. Let me see here. I got to find where I can get. Which one is it? Is this one? All right. All right. All right, hee-haw, guys. You got to shut it up now. Get it out of here. Go ahead. Get out. Close up the gate. All right. What is happening in the markets today? Boy, it started off bad, right? We had the futures getting walloped in the Dow. Supposedly this is all because of that guy Cohn resigning because the tariff wars were about to start. I was going to do a segment on tariffs. I won't do it today because I have way too much, and I also didn't prepare enough. I don't believe the tariffs are the evil that people are making them out to be, and I also don't believe that what they call free trade is free trade. But that's all I'll say about it today. Maybe when I do my next show, I'll do a show on tariffs and free trade, what it really is, and what types of tariffs. They're not distinguishing at all. There are actually different types of tariffs. Some of them are not so bad at all. Okay. Where is the Dow? I see. $82. It's down 82.76 or 0.33%. So it didn't get crushed as bad as it started off to looking earlier today. It's at 24,801, so it is off its all-time high, and we are seeing a little bit of a retreat kind of consistently here, but it's still hanging pretty high. S&P 500 is down $1.32. That's flat as you can be. It's 0.05%, sitting at 2726.8. Remember, I told you that 2700 was a kind of a midterm support line. More long-term support line would be 2625. It's holding above that. As long as it does, I don't think we'll see a whole lot of downward pressure. But like I said, anything that breaks that, it might fall considerably lower if it breaks the 2625 level. What else? We want to look at the Russell 2500 is up. So smaller mid-caps are making a little bit of a comeback. They got beat up last month. So the Russell 2500 is up $2.75 or 0.45%. That's half a point move. The EFA index is down 5 cents, a lousy nickel. The foreign developed markets dropped. That's 0.07%. So the EFA and the S&P are both flat. The emerging markets, I've been using that one lately. The Echo Mike is the symbol, EEM. That is up 6 cents or 0.12%. And then finally, the Ag index, the Alpha Golf Golf, that's the Barclays Aggregate Bond Fund. That is down a measly penny, sitting at 106.41 or 0.01%. I've been adding to the Financial Weather Report some, investor tips, investor education minutes, that kind of stuff. I'm going to do the same thing today. It doesn't quite fit into an investor tip, but there's been this big hullabaloo. It goes on and on and on and on and on about the fiduciary rule. It's really, you may have never heard of it. If you have heard of it, you thought, okay, whatever, financial services, fiduciary rule, probably put it out of your mind right away because it is relatively insignificant. But whenever the government gets involved in something, they're going to cram something down our throats and it'll become important whether we like it or not. So there's this whole hullabaloo about how should an advisor treat his clients. Okay, they suppose they're going to regulate this and make it all hunky-dory. I personally believe that if you hire a crook, there is no level of rules that the government's going to make that's going to make him act like not a crook. On the other hand, if you hire an honest guy, even if he's deficient in some of his advice, he's still doing his level best for you, and no amount of rules would make that any different either. But that's just my stupid turn of mind because, I believe in personal responsibility. Anyway, so on the fiduciary rule, this guy, Christopher Murray, made a little commentary. He says he is a fiduciary, but he doesn't like the rule. And here's why. And I actually agree with a lot of what Mr. Murray says here. He says the rule, which aims to curb conflicts of interest for those who give financial advice, could mean some small clients and advisors get squeezed out. That is exactly, I think, what the end game is. In other words, everyone knows these rules don't matter. Okay, we have rules. We have laws in the book for every imaginable criminal activity you can think of. And is criminality going down or up? If you're a criminal, you don't look at the laws. If you're not a criminal, they don't apply to you. So, but they keep making rules. And you got to say, well, there's got to be an end game here. What's the purpose of the rule? And my opinion is the purpose of the rule is to get rid of guys like me, a small-time player, just trying to help people. No, we can only have a few. We need those paragons of virtue like Wells Fargo to run your money. We need, Bank of America and Chase and all those guys because they do it so well, right? They never have criminal conduct. No. Well, anyway, so Mr. Murray thinks they're trying to squeeze out the little guy, both the little clients who don't have a lot of money, so no one's going to want to help them because they can't make any money off of them, and they're trying to squeeze out the little practitioner like me because I'm like a chink in their armor. So this is what Mr. Murray says. He says, I like that my clients know I always put their best interests first when I'm working with their hard-earned money, and I take that responsibility very seriously. Well, shouldn't you? Here's the supposed alternative. The old rule was what was called suitability. So if you could say that the investments you recommended to them were suitable, then you were okay. Now the new rule says, oh, no, you got to treat them with this fiduciary rule. So suitability is going to be gone. Fiduciarity is going to be in, right? And the fiduciary rule says, I don't have any conflicts of interest, and I'm treating your money exactly like I treat my own or my mother's, let's say. Well, I believe that suitability or fiduciary rules kind of cause the same thing if you give a darn about your client. I'm not saying that someone couldn't say something suitable and then make a larger commission than something else that's equally suitable. Yes, that probably happened. It probably happened a lot. I'm not sure that fiduciary rules are going to stop it, but I go back to the simple idea. You're either a crook or you're not. And if you are a crook, you're not going to listen to the rules. If you aren't a crook, they really aren't going to apply to you. He says this, under the fiduciary rule, the advice they give for your retirement account is required to be in your best interest, not their own. Well, I don't know of anybody who ever gave advice based on their own best interest. Yes, sometimes people go out looking for commissions. Yes. You know how you fix that? Ask the question. Hey, buddy, how much are you making on this thing you're recommending to me? Wow, what an idea, right? Individual responsibility. And if he tells you, I'm making $1 million on transaction, and you think, I wonder if he's doing that for the $1 million, then don't do the transaction. And if he says, oh, I'm making $1,000, and you go, that sounds reasonable for the work he's doing, and I think it's a good recommendation because it makes all sense to me and all this other good stuff, I think I'll go ahead and pull the trigger. You think the rule's going to matter, really? Could have fixed this with investor education. Ask the question, how much are you making? I'll go you one better. I tell my clients what I'm making. Why? Because I want them to go through that thought process. Why is David Simpson making this recommendation to me? Anyway, here's the telling tale, though. Christopher Murray, in this article about fiduciaries, he says that the regulation was delivered by a federal agency and pushed by the past administration, that would be the Obama administration, circumventing Congress's opposition is troubling. You think? There's something else afoot here. It's called let's nationalize and federalize every industry in America because, socialism works so well. The financial services industry opposed the DOL rule, the Department of Labor rule, arguing that it would make retirement planning too expensive for middle and lower income families who are seeking professional advice. He says, already we've been seeing companies raise their minimums if you don't have enough in your portfolio to make it worth the work and you're not paying those commissions and fees anymore. You will have a difficult time finding a good financial professional. Well, I'll just tell you this. You can come to me. I'll take you no matter what the size of your portfolio is, and I'll try to help you as best as I'm able.
Despair and agony on thee. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair and agony on thee.
Oh, Lord, you almost had.
You're listening to the Shoe Money Show. I am David Simpson, your host on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth. From radio size speakers, you can reach me at 844-527-8723. You can email me. I think I'll check my email because I think I saw one earlier. Email me at david@tffco.com, especially if you want to answer my question of the day. Health, wealth, or what? What is the most important thing to you? I see I did have an email. Mama Bear, who I had so much fun with last time, we emailed back and forth several times, and then she got on my email list, and then we kept emailing each other, and now we're pen pals. She says this: "Hi, David. Currently on the phone with a little friend of mine who has Downs. Oh, isn't that sweet? And want to contribute to the show today. My answer to the question of the day, the most important thing to me, is the salvation of my soul. Nothing else matters in the end." Well, you know what? I have no argument to that. And last week I was giving Mama Bear grades. Mama Bear, it's simple. A plus. Can't argue with that. I am going to, as we say in philosophy, prescind from the answer of God and salvation, because you're right. It's just so obvious and so necessary and so important that I'm going to skip it. Assuming probably wrongfully that everyone knows that, but maybe they don't. And so thank you for the answer. I'm going to stay on the temporal realm and see if I can show you through someone's failed life, maybe some different choices they could have made, even on the temporal realm, that would have made things better. It doesn't mean they're the most important. What you said is absolutely correct and the most important. Financial thought of the day. So I got this from Benjamin Graham. The Intelligent Investor was his book. Benjamin Graham is a famous investor. So he says this: those formulas that gain adherence and importance do so because they have worked well over a period, or sometimes merely because they've been plausibly adapted to the statistical record of the past. But as their acceptance increases, their reliability tends to diminish. So what is he saying? You got a formula that he thinks a great formula for, you know, all working well in the stock market. He says eventually their reliability tends to diminish. Why? This happens for two reasons, he says. First, the passage of time brings new conditions which the old formula no longer fits. And second, in stock market affairs, the popularity of a trading theory has itself an influence on the market's behavior, which detracts in the long run from its profit-making possibilities. If you don't understand that second point, what he's saying is this: you come up with a formula, it seems to work, it finds a disparity of value in the market which you can take advantage of. As it becomes more widely known, more people will follow it, and therefore adjustments will be made to valuations of things that will close that gap, if you will. In other words, your very use of the formula and other people's use of the formula will start closing that value disparity and therefore limit or eliminate the profit potential. So, oddly enough, whatever newfangled way that you have of making money in the market will eventually lose its luster. And that's from a very successful investor, and I actually agree with him and believe it. So what I think you do rather is follow trends in the market. Now you say, well, why are there trends? I don't know, but if you want to look it up, look up a thing called persistency of performance. It's a real thing, and this thing never seems to go away. When something becomes hot, more and more people jump on it. If you can see it early enough and then ride the trend, and then get off of it at some point because a new one's starting to rise, you jump on the new one. That seems to work a lot better, and it doesn't seem to go away because people are always chasing a buck. Well, that's the financial thought of the day. We'll get to some of the other things later. I am David Simpson. I am on the Crusade Channel from the Bulldog Kia Studio, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Got a lot to do today. I'm talking about working poor. I'm going to ask the question, what's up with Bitcoin being down? We'll try to decipher that a little bit. I have 9 states with no income tax and a couple of them with no sales tax. Time to move maybe, huh? And then, of course, we're going to talk about the sad tale of Lisa Marie Presley. Oh, my goodness. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. Mama Bear, thank you for the email. If you'd like to email like Mama Bear did, you can do so. David@tffco.com.
Let me tell you about my favorite hero.
Oh, stay. And nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why we can never reach the star without you.
So, you know, I'm back to my hero story. I love the hero stories, and I've been getting some commendations from people about them, saying how nice they are. Matter of fact, Mama Bear is one of them. She said she thought these were just excellent, and she's told people to go to the on-demand store and download these stories. Of course, there's more than my stories there. You got Mike Church's Deliver Us From Evil series. You got The Piercing Truth. I believe we have some of Brother Andre Marie's Reconquest packaged up and put in there. There is just a plethora. So, mi señor, I don't think you know what the plethora means. Do you think I have a plethora of piñatas? I would say you have a plethora of piñatas. Yes, it's, you don't know what a plethora means, do you? Oh, boss, please. Please, boss. Remember that from Three Amigos? poor guy didn't know what plethora was, but he thought he could use the word just like the boss was using it. There is a plethora of downloads available in the on-demand store, which you can find with such ease, with such facility at thecrusadechannel.com/shop, or just go to, you know, mikechurch.com or veritasradionetwork.com and look up on-demand store. And you'll find both my hero stories, all of Mike's productions. If you like, I can't make here anything, but if you like, you can also check out what else is in the store, like my book, Financial Sanity and Three Easy Lessons, and buy my book while you buy, Liberty, the God That Failed. You can buy Mike's productions. Oh, what about Mike's reproduction of the book and editing of the book, Humility of Heart. We got a very fantastic email from a listener saying that he'd left that book in an adoration chapel. Someone had found it and was commenting on Facebook, oh, my gosh, how powerful this book is, how much wisdom is packed into Humility of Heart. And they were putting it on their Facebook page, Mike Church's book. These are the kind of things that we've been trying to tell the Crusaders to do, because we think that maybe there's something to all this, prayer and love and devotion and spirituality and searching for the truth and philosophy and, just these things that we do here on this little place called the Crusade Channel. So Bill sent us an email telling us about the Adoration Chapel episode, and we were just dumbfounded by it once again. We keep getting these little commendations from God, patting us on the back. He has not sent any checks in to us, though. He just keeps sending us. He keeps sending us the reason to continue on, and we go, but can we get by on less than a shoestring? Is that possible? And he doesn't answer that question, so we just keep waiting. We'll find out sooner or later. But anyway, so back to the store. There's T-shirts, there's cigars, Mike's. Crusade Channel shirt, like the one I'm wearing right now, my black Crusade Channel shirt. I'm wearing my uniform. We have Humility of Heart, Financial Sanity and Three Easy Lessons, all these downloads. And so would you please go crusadechannel.com/shop, go to the download store, on-demand store, pick what you want, and buy away. Make it a Lenten exercise for yourself. All right. To my hero. I've got a new hero today. First segment on, I'm not going to tell you just who it's on. I'll tell you the title. Liberty's Steamroller. A cultured, perceptive man of principle, this hero, I won't say his name yet, fought for freedom as one of America's greatest military geniuses. Anyone want to guess? 844-527-8723. Let me make my standard disclaimer. Whenever I do a hero, there's a tendency in America to automatically assume that we mean idol. Oh, you think he was so great? Did you ever hear about his dalliance and had an affair? Do you ever hear about his what? You're going to show me that our heroes have sins? I would not think they were human if they didn't. So I'm not saying they had no peccadilloes. I'm not saying they had no sins, and I'm not saying to idolize them. The point of the hero stories is this: everyone tells me, David, America's doomed. We can't do anything about it. It's over. And I've always said, plenty of evidence for it, guys. As a matter of fact, I can complain with the best of them. But I wanted to introduce into my show a little hope. I wanted to introduce in my show the idea that there are heroes out there who were in just as bad, if not worse, conditions than us, and they didn't moan and groan and complain and whine and whatever else or say it's over. They fought. And in fighting, they gave us an example of goodness and courage and truth and beauty. So the purpose of the hero stories is to give us that sense of someone who was in bad circumstances and did their level best against it. And probably, not probably, almost definitely delayed the demise of our country because they were willing to stand up and be counted when so few people are. Now, sometimes they do this because they're thrust into circumstances. Sometimes they do it purely out of their life development. I did a story on Booker T. Washington that's available in the on-demand store. Booker T. Washington had everything going against him. Illegitimate. I didn't even know who his father was. Didn't know his name. Wasn't sure when he was born. Was a slave when he was born. Came out of slavery. An impoverished family. No education. Had to work in a salt pit when he was like, was it 8 years old or something? Maybe even younger. Amazing story. And he came out of that and became a president of a university. Just truly, truly amazing. Well, my hero this time is called, the article is entitled Liberty Steamroller. A cultured, perceptive man of principle, General George S. Patton fought for freedom as one of America's greatest military geniuses. I will probably do, I might just do half a segment on this time. The article is written by Mr. William Norman Grigg. It's from a book that I have called 20th Century Heroes. And, of course, this one is a hero exemplifying martial valor. So let's go to Mr. Grigg's article on George Patton. It starts with a Bible verse. Matter of fact, they say this is General Patton's favorite Bible verse from Psalms. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Here's the beginning of the article on George Patton. Piety is not a word commonly associated with the memory of General George S. Patton, also known as, quote, Old Blood and Guts, a man quite properly regarded as the embodiment of America's martial tradition. The late George C. Scott's Oscar-winning film portrayal of Patton, which was as much a caricature as a tribute, has immortalized the general as a human juggernaut to whom everything, including worship, was subordinated to an all-consuming passion for war. But as his posthumously published memoir, War as I Knew It, documents, so if you're looking for Patton's book, it's called War as I Knew It, Patton was a cultured and perceptive man of principle for whom war was a means of protecting freedom. Although his granite-willed determination to destroy the enemy's capacity for warfare is well known, Patton's capacity for melancholy reflection upon war's ugliness is not. Upon arriving in Normandy, Patton noted in his journal that he attended a field mass, quote, where all of us were armed. As we knelt in the mud in the slight drizzle, we could distinctly hear the roar of guns, and the whole sky was filled with airplanes on their missions of destruction, quite at variance with the teachings of the religion we were practicing, close quote. George Gosselin, a much decorated veteran, much decorated veteran of Patton's army, observed that while the general was a taskmaster who demanded exemplary order and discipline within the ranks, he was also a man of profound and sincere faith. It should not be forgotten, wrote Gosselin, that, quote, this man was so hard on himself and others, was totally soft on God, close quote. And then another quote, and this is from Patton, quote, I am a strong believer in prayer. There are three ways that men get what they want, by planning, by working, and by praying. Any great military operation takes careful planning. Then you must have well-trained troops to carry it out. But between the plan and the operation, there is always the unknown. That unknown spells success or failure. Some people call that getting the breaks. I call it God. God has his part or margin in everything. That's where prayer comes in, close quote. Now, how often, I'll make a little side comments during the article, how often do we even hear people talking about God or prayer anymore, other than on the Crusade Channel? And Lord have mercy, we have not heard it from a military leader in I don't know how long. Oh, yeah, you get every once in a while the standard God bless America or God pray for us or something, you know, some trite, casual, almost offhand remark, and you're not even sure if they mean it. But I think Patton meant it. It sounds like he meant it in more ways than one. It sounds like as he planned and executed any operation, he was full on involved in praying. Good for him. Continuing with the article, but this is the True Money Show. You listen to one of my heroes, the hero story on George Patton entitled Liberty Steamroller. You may call in if you'd like with a financial question or to comment on the story or whatever else you want to talk about. Answer my financial question of the day. Health, wealth, or what is the most important thing in your life? 844-527-8723. You may email me, David, at tffco.com. As a believer, Patton's God was Christ, not Mars. As a master strategist given to fits of tactical genius he couldn't explain, Patton understood the need for focused ruthlessness in confronting an insurgent foe. As a Christian, he understood and practiced the virtue of mercy in dealing with a conquered enemy. These complementary aspects of Patton's personality were on display during an interview with the vicar of Sicily after Patton's forces routed the Italian army. Quote, I assured him, wrote Patton, that I was amazed at the stupidity and gallantry of the Italian army. Stupid because they were fighting for a lost cause, and gallant because they were Italians, close quote. Patton asked the vicar to call upon the Italians to surrender in order to prevent needless bloodshed. Quote, as a matter of fact, wrote Patton, I called off the air and naval bombardments we had arranged because I felt enough people had been killed and felt that with the drive of the 2nd Armored Division, we could take the place without inflicting unproductive losses on the enemy, close quote. Now, this is at variance, right, with the unconditional surrender grant approach in the Civil War and much of American polity afterwards, where we always think we have to bomb, nuke them out of existence. We'll kill them all, let God sort them out. This is not the martial valor that George Patton practiced. He said unproductive losses for the enemy, not necessary. On another occasion, Patton referred reproachfully to what he called, quote, the seemingly barbaric bombardment of the centers of cities, close quote, during the war, a practice that did not comport with Patton's sense of martial chivalry and the moral principles of just warfare. Of hold the presses! Just warfare? What? There ain't no such thing, David. Ain't no such thing, just warfare. You either kill them all or you're a wimp. Just warfare. Guess where that's from? Christian ethics. We search for the truth here around the Crusade Channel, Veritas Radio Network, king-size truth from radio-sized speakers. And unless we can make the simple distinction between just and unjust warfare, then we are not worthy of the name Christian. Patton didn't believe that our bombing of the city centers was part of just warfare. Quote, kill all the Germans you can, close quote, urged the general during the Third Army's unprecedented drive across Europe. Quote, but do not put them up against a wall and kill them. Do your killing while they are still fighting. After a man has surrendered, he should be treated exactly in accordance with the rules of land warfare and just as you would hope to be treated if you were foolish enough to surrender. He didn't believe in surrender, apparently. Americans do not kick people in the teeth after they are down. Close quote. Well, the last time I checked, we do, General Patton. Sorry. It's our new way. We love bombing brown people. We love embargoing whole countries, sanctioning and starving them to death, and a few other things, all in the name of freedom, freedom, liberty, freedom, American way. Again, I give these hero stories so we can reflect back on the way we were, the way Americans are, or at least used to be, and examples of great courage and devotion. This guy is clearly a general, right? I mean, he's a man's man. He's willing to fight to the death. But he, when he fights, if someone doesn't die in the operation, he knows how to treat them as a civil human being. George, back to the article, George Smith Patton was born in California in 1885. And at the age of five, he informed his parents of his intention of becoming a great general. I'll stop there for a second. I'm always amazed at some of these people who have these inspirations like this. I mean, he said it at age five, and he did. Was it in his blood, in his mind, in his heart, all of his life because of some guiding principle that put it there? Or did he say it, and that made it become true because he didn't want to go back on his own word? Why a five-year-old wouldn't go back on his own word is anybody's guess. It's just, isn't it an oddity that so many of our heroes are these, we might call them pathological heroes, where they have this desire that just cannot be contained. I think the saints all exemplify this. Notice how Mike Church, if you haven't listened to the Mike Church show on every day from 6 to 10 in the morning. Mike always talks about his job now as a vocation. He feels called to do this, and you can tell. You can tell. Why? Because it's always a joy. It's always a love. It's always a festival. I've seen him do it sick. I've seen him do it with laryngitis. I've seen him do it when he was ticked off. Something strange about vocational loves like this, and we see it in a lot of heroes. We're seeing it, in General George Patton. Back to the article. Quote, when he learned to read, the first book he bought was A History of Decisive Battles, close quote, recounted Colonel Robert S. Allen in the book Lucky Forward, his memoir of serving in Patton's Third Army. Quote, in school, he was always organizing sham battles. On his honeymoon in France, he took his young bride to historic battlefields and fortresses. Boy, how romantic, honey. Thank you. Later, when stationed in Hawaii, he and his wife and young children would stage assault landings while on sailing trips. Even when playing his beloved polo and fox hunting, he played at war, close quote. That was from Colonel Robert Allen's book, Lucky Forward. Patton received his cavalry commission in 1909. After representing the U.S. at the 1912 Olympic Games, Patton took part in General John J. Pershing's punitive raid into Mexico in 1916. Pershing took Patton to France in 1917 as a staff captain, and Patton finished World War I as a commander of a tank brigade. During a mere 13 months of combat command in World War II, a little more than a month in northern Africa, 38 days in Sicily, and 318 days in Northwest Europe, Patton gradually showed himself to be America's greatest fighting general. Under his command, the Third Army killed or captured 1.4 million soldiers of the Third Reich, while enduring the lowest casualty rate of any Allied army in the European theater of operations. A strategic assessment of Allied generals compiled by the German Oberkommando des Heeres, the High Command, described Patton as the most, quote, the most modern and the only master of the offensive, close quote, among the Allied commanders. That's high praise, right? Their enemy is saying this is the only guy who actually can mount offensive operations that we need to be worried about. Patton is, quote, this is again from the German high command, Patton is the most dangerous general on all fronts. The tactics of other generals are known, and countermeasures can be effected against them. Patton's tactics are daring and unpredictable. He fights not only the troops opposing him, but the Reich, close quote. 844-527-8723 is how you can call in to this, The True Money Show. I am David Simpson, your host, reading a hero story, my Hero Zero series. You can download any of my heroes, and I've done a bunch of them. They're all available in the on-demand store. You can reach me by email, david@tffco.com. You may call into that number of the Crusade channel, 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. And if you'd like to be put on my email list on when I'm be doing my live shows, email me at that same email address, david@tffco.com, and just say, Dave, add me to the list. Let's continue with the hero story here. So this ironic tribute from Patton's enemies is made more ironic still in light of the post-war smear campaign mounted by Soviet sympathizers in the press and acted upon by a pro-Soviet political establishment depicting the general as a covert Nazi sympathizer. Quote, it is not an exaggeration to state that Patton fought two wars in the European theater of operation, one against the enemy and one against higher authorities for the opportunity to fight the enemy, notes Colonel Allen. After Germany surrendered on May 7, 1945, Patton realized that our Soviet quote-unquote allies, who had begun the war as co-aggressors with National Socialist Germany, were in fact our enemy, and he urged his superiors to evict the Soviets from Central and Eastern Europe. That, by the way, I think becomes his downfall, right? I've said many times on the show that the United States is the biggest promoter of international socialism in the world. And everyone says, what are you talking about? We're capitalists. We're the best country, the freest country in the whole world. Well, I'll keep giving my evidence, and you keep trying to decide whether we are or not. So he, Patton, sees that this, I don't know, this little fledgling and dangerous communism is just like the Nazism they fought. And he says, they shouldn't be in Eastern Europe. We should push them out of Europe altogether. Let's see what happens. In a conversation with then Undersecretary of War Robert P. Patterson that took place in Austria shortly after the Nazi surrender, Patton complained that the, quote, point system, close quote, being used to demobilize Third Army troops was destroying the Third Army and creating a vacuum that the Soviets would exploit. Quote, Mr. Secretary, for God's sake, when you go home, stop this point system. Stop breaking up these armies, close quote, pleaded the general. Quote, let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to these people, the Soviets he was talking about. This is the only language they understand, close quote. Asked by Patterson, who would become Secretary of War a few months later, what he would do, Patterson replied, I would have you tell the Red Army where their border is and give them a limited time to get back across. Warn them that if they fail to do so, we will push them back across it. So that was Patton's advice to Patterson. Here's what you need to tell them. Tell the Russians to get across their border, give them a certain period of time to do it, and tell them if they don't do it, the U.S. is going to push him back that way. Yeah, sure. Patton, I don't think, realized the political intrigue at the highest levels. Patton knew that the Red Army was weak, undersupplied, and vulnerable, and that if Europe were to be freed from totalitarian despotism, the West would have to act before the Soviets consolidated their position. Oh, George, came the condescending reply from Patterson, you have lost sight of the big picture, close quote. That big picture, as leftist historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. explained in July-August 1995 issue of Foreign Affairs, quote, was to commit the United States to post-war international structures before victory could return the nation to its old habits, close quote. Read there, the United Nations. You're going to have internationalism whether you want it or not, guys, so says the leftists. What is the, by the way, what is the leftist, what is a communist goal? They used to have, the common turn. What does that mean? The communist international. Why was it international? Because they believed that it was destiny that the working class, and this is the abstract theory, it's not the truth, but the working class would overthrow all of its rulers and we'd have peace on earth and happiness and prosperity because of material blessings. God's not in it. It's atheistic, and there's nothing spiritual about it. It's materialism. Okay? That's the goal on the theory level. What's the reality? Barbaric, militaristic totalitarianism, 2% of the population enslaving the rest. But the internationalism has to stay because we want the whole world to be enslaved to us. I used to ask people all this all the time. Do you believe that there's ever been a plot to rule the world? And people go, of course. Alexander the Great, Hannibal, Caesars, Charlemagne, you know, they go through the list, right? And I say, and you think that desire has disappeared, no longer exists, right? Or is there still a goal to rule the world and it's just hidden from us because we're lapping it up? We're drinking in internationalism. So Patton was told, we're going to internationalism. You don't see the big picture. Back to the article. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish this last few paragraphs here and then we'll take a break. And I think it'll be the end of my opening of Patton, and we'll come back to Patton in future episodes. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. You can email me, David, at tffco.com if you care to communicate in that fashion. Okay. Back to the article. In order to keep our nation entangled in the growing network of international bodies, a credible foreign menace was needed, and the Soviets were perfectly cast in the part. Quote, it is to Joseph Stalin that Americans owe the 40-year suppression of the isolationist impulse, close quote, wrote Schlesinger with approval. Oh, so we got a boogeyman now. By the way, if this continues, how many wars do we have in America now? War on terror, the war on drugs, war on poverty, the war in the Middle East, war. It has become the modus operandi of the liberal, left-leaning, internationalists, and of course, bureaucrats, 100% government people, create some realistic, at least plausible explanation on why we've got to grow government and why we have to grow taxes and why we have to grow bureaucracy and all these things, and the people will just sit there and accept it, and we do. So back then, Russia, Cold War, nuclear deterrence. Had Patton been permitted to drive the Soviets from Europe, millions of people would have been spared decades of abject oppression, and the criminal elite that continues to dominate most of Eastern and Central Europe might never have come to power. Patton understood and warned his superiors that if the Soviets were allowed to consolidate their grip, quote, we have failed the liberation of Europe, we have lost the war, close quote. Patton, an honorable and patriotic man, was apparently unable to accept the fact that while he and his soldiers fought to liberate their fellow men from tyranny, those above him in policymaking positions were seeking to control the world, not to emancipate it. Thus, Patton was traduced in the servile press as a covert, quote, Nazi sympathizer, close quote, and stripped of his command shortly before his fatal automobile accident on December 9th, 1945. Well, like I said, that'll close us up on Patton, this segment. We're going to come back to him in future segments. That's my hero from my Hero to Zero series. I hope you're enjoying that story and all the others. Again, they're all available to you in the on-demand store. Go to crusadechannel.com/shop. Go to mikechurch.com, any of our websites. Look up our shopping area. You will find our on-demand store, and you can download. I think all my heroes are available for like $1.99 or something. You can hear both the story, my commentary, and even get some cool little pictures out of the arrangement as well. So that's how you can do that. When I come back, I'm going to get to my question of the day, health, wealth, and or what is the most important thing in your life. We're talking about 9 states with no income tax, what's up with Bitcoin, since it's down these days, and a whole lot more right here on the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
If David Simpson had been Jerry Maguire and showed Leon the true money, it would have hit him over the head like the proverbial ton of bricks. Gold bricks, that is. Let David Simpson show you the true money every Wednesday at noon Central, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal. And the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Welcome back to the True Money Show. I am excited about continuing my patent story next show. I think people are enjoying it. I got another email from Mama Bear, and I appreciate you talking to me there, Mama Bear. I'm going to email you after the show. So, by the way, I'm looking at the listeners. You know, the numbers are dwindling. Don't run off just because I finished my first hour. Just because the hero show, hero segment is over with, it doesn't mean I don't have lots of other good stuff, like This day in money history coming up. I've got making $70,000 and still feeling poor. Matter of fact, you can make a $200,000 or more and still feel poor today. I've got 9 states with no income tax. You might want to know about that. And then what's up with Bitcoin? So there is so much left to do here on the show. That's why I ended the hero story early. I just think we need to get to these topics so I don't leave you hanging when I promised you all this great stuff. Of course, we have our financial question of the day on the table. Health, wealth, or what is the most important thing to you? Mama Bear already rang in with the perfect answer, which is salvation of your soul and loving God, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself for the love of God. That's the 2 great commandments that sum up all of the law. Yes, Mama Bear, A+. I can't argue with that. However, I'm going to prescind from the theological argument and move into the temporal arguments about things that might be more important than money when I get to answering the question towards the end of the show. I want to also mention to you, we have a membership drive. You know, I hate mentioning the membership drive to all the listeners because I mean, I know your members already. So you go, well, Dave, I'm already a member. I'm paying $79.99 a month or $100 a year or $1,000 a year. Last show, I had a guy join up as a crusader, plunked $1,000 down because he believes in the purpose and the value of the Crusade Channel. Thank you very much. That was Miles. So wonderful. And again, I hate mentioning it, but we've got to reach more people. I was looking at our listener map. There's somebody listening in Germany. I saw people listening from Thailand and Canada and, oh, I don't know, a few other places, the Netherlands and England, Great Britain. Hey, let's expand worldwide. All of you international listeners, push us out a little bit more. Take someone's phone from them, show them the app, and just say, just listen for a week or two or three. What does Mike say? You listen for 2 weeks and you take the red pill, and all of a sudden you will become a dyed-in-the-wool lover of Veritas. Not just the station, but the actual thing, truth. It's in such short supply when you hear it, you can't help yourself. You're like, oh, my gosh, that's right. That's real. I see it. And when you see it, you can't stop seeing it. You can't unsee it. Tonight, after my show, we have the Mike Church. Mike, you're doing philosophy tonight, right? Philosophy is on tonight. I think they're doing apologetics now, and Mike's been all on me saying, "Have you listened to Brother Francis' apologetics course?" I have not. I've done a history course of his. I've done a the philosophy course numerous times. Never actually did the apologetics course. Mike tells me it's just knock your socks off good. So tonight, 6 p.m. right here on the Crusade Channel, tune in for a new episode of the apologetics course for all of you. People working through the philosophy course and the apologetics course. It will be on again tonight. All right. 844-527-8723. By the way, if you're one of those people listening in one of those countries over there, call in. I've never had an international phone call other than ones I've initiated myself when I have a guest on. So I'd like to have a call from overseas. It'd be nice. Yeah, Dave, we're over here and we see what you're talking about. Don't let America fall into the toilet. I'd love to hear that. 844-527-8723. You can email me, david@tffco.com. So I had an email from before the show, a guy saying that one of my little announcement items fit him to a T. Now, I don't know if this is the one, but I know it fits a lot of people to a T, and that's this. I wrote in my little announcement, are you making $70,000 and still poor? Well, that was the name of an article I found some months ago. It doesn't matter the age of the article because it still applies. The article is entitled, Making $70,000 but Still Poor, You're Not Alone. Written by Mr. Chris Heerline, 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 Chris Heerline, wrote this article. I'm going to just recap a few points of it before we move on to another segment. He says, in today's economy, there are plenty of high-earning poor, and the numbers keep growing. Here's how to avoid becoming one of them. Well, the first item he mentions is probably the most telling and the most damning. Listen to this. Behind the growing news headlines lies the ugly fact that middle-class Americans, after you adjust for inflation, are earning no more today than they did nearly 40 years ago. For those of you keeping score, that'd be 1977, because this article is from 2017. So, first of all, I agree. I've been practicing for 20 years, but more than that, just observationally, how many of you out there, as you're driving around, as you go to the store, as you go to a restaurant, whatever you're doing, have you noticed that people look less cared for? I'm talking about their clothing. I'm talking about their hair. I'm talking about the vehicles they drive. I'm talking about the way that just their dispositions. Sometimes you actually see physical ailments. I mean, maybe it's just a function of growing older, but I truly believe that through the course of my life, I've seen a degrading, not just of the moral part of American society, but of the material part of American society. We are not as wealthy as our parents. And it's getting worse every day. Now, that's just my anecdotal evidence. He gives this as evidence. What was it? Well, like I said, I would agree. I think there's a growing poverty of the middle class. He says this. They aren't getting ahead. They are just getting by. There are plenty of people who have successful businesses and some who get nice yearly raises, but they still fall into the category of what he calls the high-earning poor. On the surface, they may not look broke. They may even appear prosperous. But if you looked at their balance sheets, you would see they are living paycheck to paycheck. Well, agreed. So he didn't really give a specific evidence. I guess it's his own anecdotal evidence of being a practitioner in the financial services arena. But I've seen other reports, and I'm sure you have too, from respected journals and respected economic indicator type of organizations who say the same thing. Now, they may change the years. They may say wages have been stagnant for 10 years. They may say wages have been stagnant for 20. But the point is that real dollar take-home pay is either flat or going down. Now, here's what he says to do about it. I'm going to take issue with a little bit of this. He says they have a nice income, but they are asset poor, and it is all a matter of money management. Well, wrong. I disagree with that completely. Money management, of course, would help. Who's going to argue for not having a budget, let's say, right? I'm sorry. I'm in my little fishbowl here. I'm looking out of the window, and I can see all the way clear out the door. And now I'm knocking the microphone down. I can see, and my car is being robbed. And then I realize it's my son. Oh, well. I have a sneaky suspicion I know what it was. Baseball gear he needed. Okay, so my car was not broken into, thank goodness. Where was I? Oh, yes, money management. Money management would help, of course. Of course it would help. If you're more on top of your paycheck, you're more on top of your outgo, et cetera, of course it would help. But if the problem, if real wages have stayed steady or going down, and then we know that everything costs more, and we know that because of inflation, but that's not what inflation is. I've discussed that many times in the show. Inflation is not a rise in prices. It's a decrease in the value of money. Then we have this little paradigm going on of people making the same or less money that's all worth less, and then they can't buy as much. They are poor. And while money management might help, the real problem is the fake money system. What have I told you on the show? What's the purpose of the True Money Show? One of the purposes? To explain the pernicious and deadly monetary system that is in the United States and actually around the world, and how we need to end it, and how to protect yourself until we do. But just trying to do better money management is not going to really help you guys, because the fact of the matter is that you're being stolen from by the monetary policy of the United States. And unless we change that, we're not just going to end up poor. We're going to end up enslaved. Going on. He says, would it surprise you to know? This is Chris Heerlein again, a practitioner writing this article, making $70,000 but still poor. You're not alone. He says, would it surprise you to know that he knows people who are earning double and triple $70,000 per year who still live from paycheck to paycheck and are saddled with burdensome debt? Well, it's true. I can tell you, $210,000? I actually knew a couple making, I want to say $600,000. I might be actually estimating their salary lower than it was, but it was at least $600,000. And when they came to me, the level of debt they were in was unbelievable. I had to work with them for a couple of years to manage that debt properly and finally make it efficient, and we could finally start having them save money more so than they were before. This guy loves the system. This guy uses the system that I advocate. He's fully taken on my advice. It's all working out for him. He's a dedicated and wonderful client. But this guy here, lines writing this article, is correct. I know people making $150,000, $250,000, $350,000, $600,000, And they're no different than you and me because they follow traditional financial planning advice and it doesn't work. He says there are a couple reasons for this. The first reason he gives is accurate. He doesn't go on to describe more, but one is that the traditional 401k plans that were introduced back in the 1980s have become the pillar of most people's savings. That's great, but the problem is that after putting money into these retirement plans, people don't have any left over. Bingo. You don't think that was by design? They can't touch these accounts without penalty until they reach age 59 and a half, and they don't have much left over for savings or emergencies. I put two giant exclamation points by that paragraph, Mr. Heerlein. Thank you. The use and the flow of money is more important than you'll ever know. And it's very difficult to explain this concept over the radio or even in an office meeting. You've got to have your own bucket of money. You've got to flow that money through your life for things that you need. It also needs to serve as your emergency fund. And you need to control it and never, ever, ever, ever let someone take it away from you. And if you use it, you got to replenish it. And this process is the only defense against the inflationary monster that we're fighting. It's not going to win, by the way. This is purely defensive. But it's a help to keep you from becoming impoverished over time. What is my goal as a financial advisor? My goal as a financial advisor is to create one person after another, after another, after another, who becomes healthy financially so we can finally, at some point, fight the real enemy that is the financiers and the government lackeys and everyone else that is that is trying to enslave us. And when they have us all impoverished, it's going to be easy to do, right? You're going to want to stand in the soup line. But if you still have some financial wherewithal, you can fight them. If you still have some independence, you can fight them. That's actually one of my underlying motivations and impulses for my whole practice, is creating healthy cells in this body politic that we have. Pipe dream, I guess. Oh, well, I'm a crusader. I go after things that will never be accomplished by natural, personal, human means. Still believe in it. He says emergency fund 101. A good rule of thumb is to have at least 6 months of income, preferably nine, for the unexpected. It is just basic financial planning to have such a fund. I agree. I can make a good argument for having a year's worth. He actually says this, which I think is a mistake. He said you should keep it liquid, put it in the bank or somewhere you can get have an ATM or write a check for it. I disagree. You need 1 month in cash, probably at home, and the rest you can put in another place that's more beneficial than a bank account paying you 0.5%, if that much. But that's just my own personal turn of mind. Listen to this. He says we expect the number of high-earning poor Americans to grow. Why? The findings of the Schwartz Center for Economic Policy Analysis survey reported in Forbes that the retirement, this is the title of the article, quote, "The retirement crisis, why 68% of Americans aren't saving in an employer-sponsored plan." Well, remember, he just said the employer-sponsored plan causes its own problems, so I don't know why he's advocating that. However, he says, the title says it all, right? These people don't even have enough money to save in the retirement accounts. 68%, 7 out of 10 people aren't saving even in retirement accounts. Remember, they're poor. They don't look poor, but they are poor. They don't have any more money to give to retirement or disability insurance or long-term care insurance or all the other things that we normally recommend that makes someone, what do they even call that? I'm insurance poor, Dave. I've insured myself for everything. I have no money. Well, I'm not going to do that to you. It's a mistake to become poor in any respect. Your capital is your past life. It's your work product, monetized, held in money form. You got to protect that little baby. It's yours. He says almost half of working Americans are not offered retirement plans by their employers. Yet an alarming number are offered a plan and simply decline to participate, even if the employer is providing matching funds. Well, he closes up and says there are other factors as well, including poor financial choices, such as living above your means. Hey, that's the American way. Keeping up with the Joneses is like our national pastime. We got to have a bigger house than they have. We got to have four cars. They've got three. Wait a second. He got a boat? Honey, we're buying a yacht. No, they didn't get a Winnebago, did they? You know what? I'm buying the vacation home in Hawaii. This is like playground stupidity, right? Little Bobby pushes Johnny, so Johnny pushes Bobby, and then a big brouhaha ensues. Come on. Keeping Up with the Joneses, for any rational human being, should have already been jettisoned as any sensible way of living, and you should be looking to minimize your lifestyle to almost sacrificing lifestyle, should I say, during this Lenten time. And not just to have more money, but to know that you don't need any of these things. And if you don't need them, why waste your hard-earned dollars on them? All right, Mr. Heerlein concludes with, it always seems to follow that when people earn more, they feel obliged to spend more on the way they live. Right. We even have there's a name for that. I forgot what we used to call it. Well, doesn't matter. The point is, if you always live up to your wealth, then you're a fool. If you get a raise, guys, and you could live on the earlier salary, stay living there and put the raise to work somewhere else. Much, much better in the long term. Three steps towards health. So what do you do if you're in this situation? Mr. Heerlein's going to answer it for you. I'm going to answer it a little differently, but between the two of us, I hope you'll get some sound advice. So if the paycheck won't make you rich, what will? He says three things. One, living below your means. I agree. Number two, aggressively saving. I agree with some qualifications. Number three, disciplined investing. And I would agree with that as well with some qualifications. So here's what I would add. You've got to get out of the financial services modality or you're going to suffer the same fate. If you already bought into the 401k deposit, that's fine, but maybe you can reduce it or terminate it for a while you do something else. If you're already insurance poor, let's look at those insurances and say, you know what, what do I need? What's most likely to happen in my life? What's not? And let's only keep the ones we need. Also, only insure what you can't afford to lose. We're starting to use insurance in a way that's not commensurate with the way insurance is supposed to be used. Insurance is for catastrophes. It's not for daily, incidents of life. You shouldn't have health insurance that covers a cold. You should have health insurance that covers a catastrophe. If you get a cold, pay for it out of pocket. If you don't get a cold, keep the money. Wow, what an idea. So don't follow the financial services modality of normal investing and insuring and all these other things. Talk to someone who's trying to fight a war for you to protect your capital. That would be something I add. And number two, and you're going to think, really, David, that's going to be wasting some of my money. It's not a waste. You should join groups that are advocating the end of the Fed or advocating lowering taxes or repealing the income tax. You could even join, shock of all shocks, the Crusade Channel. That's a mouthpiece for these organs, right? The mouthpiece for all these organizations that are doing this great work. Why should you put some money there? Well, it's an investment in the cure. We can't fix this by just protecting ourselves. We've got to fix this by changing society. And you're not going to change society by creating a cocoon and trying to wrap yourself up in it. We've got to fortify, we've got to strengthen the groups that are doing the offensive operations, whether it be the Crusade Channel or whether it be, the Audit the Fed organization, whether it be the Liberty Amendment to get rid of the income tax. I could go down a list. You know what these groups are. Pick your own favorite that's fighting to change the fundamental way that America is being ruined. Well, if you're one of those working poor, I do sympathize with you. I am one of them, and I'll tell you why I am, because I choose to have my wife rear our children at home and homeschool them to protect them from the putrid indoctrination they'd get out there in society at large. Well, when you make that kind of decision, you don't have two salaries. You're bound to be poor compared to everyone else, and I welcome it. Thank the Lord for it. 844-527-8723 is how you can call in. You can email me, David, at tffco.com. You know, you might ask me, do you ever get jealous, David? Do you ever get envious of other people having other stuff? I'm a human being. Of course I do. Of course I do. I'm not, man, my wife and I didn't take a vacation for probably, let's see, we'll be married 25 years this year. It had to be at least 18, maybe 21 years before we took our first vacation. You think I ever looked at the guy taking three or four a year and go, geez, man, of course I did. But I don't feel a whole lot worse off because of it. I still love my wife as much because of it, or not because I didn't take vacation. I still love her. Still love my kids. Maybe that could be one of our concerted efforts. Maybe we could stop looking at people who have lots of stuff and oohing and aahing, and start looking at people who are trying to deprive themselves and ooh and ah over them. Why don't you look at the guy? Why don't you go find some farmer in your town and just walk up to him and give him a big hug and say, thank you for not jumping in to the rat race, running your own course, doing one of the hardest jobs around, and being successful at it. God bless you, sir. Maybe if we start encouraging people to do the hard stuff, we'll just turn the world around just by our acts of encouragement and love of people doing the right thing instead of people doing the wrong thing. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. You can email me, david@tffco.com. You're listening to The True Money Show. I come to you this day and every day from 3 to 5 o'clock only on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. We've got a little enterprise here. It's not my enterprise. Captain Kirk of the ship is a man named Mike Church. And Captain Kirk, hey, you do a Mike Church impersonation? Can you do Kirk? I need somebody who can do some Kirk. So Captain Kirk in there, Mike Church. You know, Kirk and Church mean the same thing, by the way. So, I mean, just to let you know, if you're in Scotland, they're going to ask you, where's the Kirk? That's a church.
Why did you ask?
I'm looking for a Kirk to explain to them where the Starship Crusader is going.
The Starship Crusader is on a trip for a 5-year mission.
To do what,
sir? To boldly go where no man has gone before, Spock.
You mean speak the truth on the airways?
To speak the truth to new species. To find new forms of aquatic life. I'm going to find it. That's actually a poor imitation of Jim Carrey doing James T. Kirk.
Damn it, Jim! You can't pull
that off! Damn it, Jim! Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not an undertaker.
But the dilithium crystals, sir, I can't take you much more!
I can't give you no more, Captain!
You know, if we had dilithium crystals around here and we could sell them to Captain Kirk, we could raise enough money to support the Crusade for a long, long time. But we don't have dilithium crystals. What we have is a meager bunch of crusaders out there giving their lifeblood, and thank you very much for that, by the way, to the crusade. We got another interesting email from a guy trying to assess, you know, how many people actually pull at the oars in any given ship, right? I don't know. And he says, oh, it's, you know, it's like 10% of half or something like that. Well, no, it's less than that. And so here's my the reason I bring all this up, why we have Captain Kirk on the show, why is the Starship Crusader flying through space without any fuel?
What's the point, Walter?
Well, the point here, sir, is that there's an easy place to go to help out, and that's called crusadechannel.com/join. Now, my suggestion, since those people are already listening out there, are probably joined, and might be even tired of giving to us, my suggestion is to please prevail upon your friend. Prevail upon your enemy. Do what our friend did. He dropped the book off in the Adoration Chapel so someone else could read it. Wear your Crusader shirt. Slap the app on somebody's phone. Just market for us. We're doing all the marketing. I promise you, Mike is making more and more associations with more and more groups that are on the right side of the fence, and we're growing by trying to amalgamate these groups into one large organization so we can be kind of like the mouthpiece, and all the organizations feed us information, and they feed us personalities, and they feed us their projects, and we can announce them and create a firestorm that can change the world. We really will do it. with God's grace, God's help, God's blessing. But all of you are instruments in God's hands, just like I am. I'm no better than you. I email to, 300 people a week. Hey, listen to my show. Listen to Mike Church show. Listen to the Crusade channel. Can you do that? I don't care if your list is three people. It's three people we may not have. Please, crusadechannel.com/join. Consider becoming a member and recommending becoming a member to anyone that you know. We need to help. Please, please bless us with just the smallest bit of marketing effort you can make. I thank you already for doing so. I know someone is going to hear me and say, yes, David, I'll do it. I didn't do it this week, but I'll do it tomorrow. Thank you. In the meantime, back to the show. 844-527-8723. Here's an idea for you. How about you move to a state with no income tax? And since I'm making this recommendation to you, it's going to save you. Let's just say you pay right now $3,000 a year in state income tax. I have no idea what you pay. I'm making the number up. Let's say you take my advice and you move to one of these states with no state income tax. I'm not really asking you to move, but I'm just showing this as an example. So you move to one of these two states I'm about to mention, and you save $3,000 a year. Why don't you just give that to Mike Church? No, I know. No, give half of it to the Crusade Channel. You keep the other half for your own fun. What an idea. Right here. You heard it first here on the Crusade Channel. True Money Show. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Let me give you these two states. So Sandra Block of, I don't even know what magazine this is. Doggone, I didn't print that out. Oh, well. It don't matter. It don't matter. Sandra Block, the senior editor of some unknown magazine, she listed nine states with no income tax. Well, I did the hard work for you. I went and did another search for the states that have no sales tax. So no state income tax and no sales tax. And I pared the list down to give you the two best non-tax states to live in. You want to know what they are? Okay, well, let's just read real quick what the nine states are that have no income tax. They are Alaska, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, South Dakota, just like North Dakota, but South, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming. Wyoming have no income tax. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, you know what it means. They don't tax your Social Security, your withdrawals from your IRAs and 401ks, at least on the state level, or payouts from pensions. Yahoo. You know, part of me wants to say, you know what? I don't want taxes at all. But anyway. So I went and got the five states that don't have a sales tax, and here they are. You're going to recognize a couple of these names. Alaska, Delaware, Montana, New Hampshire, and Oregon. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the big drum roll, the two states that fit the bill of having no state income tax and no state sales tax, they are, coming in alphabetically, Alaska is number one. Oh, my phone went out. Let me get this back up. I had this on for a reason. Alaska. Let me read you about Alaska real quick. There is no state income tax in Alaska. Income from Social Security, IRAs, 401ks, blah, blah, blah. Not taxed by the state. The sales tax, Alaska is one of five states with no sales tax. However, localities, meaning the local jurisdictions, can levy sales taxes, which go as high as 7.5%, but the statewide average is only 1.76. Now, you know, by the way, that if a state has no income tax and no sales tax, they're going to get their money somewhere, but they may have adjusted to where they're not trying to get the state to do everything for you the way we would like it in a true republic, right? So, but they usually make up their difference in inheritance taxes or in property taxes, usually the latter. Oddly enough, there is no inheritance tax or estate tax in Alaska. They do have property taxes. The median property tax on a home value of $250,000 is $2,956. But so if you want to move to Alaska, you know what's going to eat you up moving to Alaska? Is probably the cost of goods and also the time that you want to go home to your original state. The travel costs would probably eat you up. But Alaska comes in as the first one with no sales tax and no state income tax. Number two, and only number two alphabetically, is New Hampshire. New Hampshire does not have an income tax, but there's a 5% tax on dividends and interest in excess, don't you love this, of $2,400 for individuals or $4,800 for joint filers. So if you have dividend income, meaning investment income from dividends, over $4,800 if you're married, you'll get taxed 5% on that. So there's a slight income tax, but not exactly pure income tax. Sales tax. New Hampshire is one of five states with no sales tax. Bravo. And here's where they get you a little bit. Remember, Alaska's property tax on a $250,000 home was not quite $3,000, $2,956. Property tax on a $236,000 home in New Hampshire, $5,131. So pretty sizable property tax bill in New Hampshire. Still, I don't know. You want to do the math, add up what you're paying in state income tax, add up what you pay in state sales tax, add up what you pay in property tax in your current state and see where you come out. And maybe $5,000 would be a winner for you and you can move to New Hampshire and maybe trot across the border there to Vermont every now and then and support the Vermont Free State Project. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. I am David Simpson on the True Money Show, looking for you to answer my financial question of the day. Only one sweet, loving person has taken me up on answering this question. Of course, she gave the perfect A1 answer. Maybe everyone thinks, oh, well, no, what I say is going to sound stupid. No, you can write in something else. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to talk about answering a question from a slightly different angle. I'm not going to use a theological angle. So Mama Bear wrote in to my question, what's the most important thing in your life, health, wealth, or what? She wrote in, the salvation of her soul and God. Of course, I agree, 100%, A+. By the way, Mama Bear, congratulations on the A+ this time, straight out the gate. You didn't have to wait. You didn't have to study or cram or anything. You got the grade right out the gate. I'm going to answer from a slightly different angle because I'm going to talk about it from just the purely worldly temporal view. So you may do the same. Or you may ask me, Dave, I've got this mutual fund. What do you think about it? Or Dave, my wife is a pain in the butt. Can I kill her? Any question you want, I will take. Bitcoin. Two things. It's not a coin, and it's not a bit. That's really bad. Samantha Chang wrote this on March the 6th. Bitcoin prices tanked almost 7% in the past 24 hours as its trading volume tumbled to a two-year low. I saw another article today. Bitcoin's more likely to go 100 than back up to where it was, I think the guy was saying. What do you think is true? Well, the argument they're making here in this article is very simple, that she believes Bitcoin is down because trading volume is drying up. And, of course, anytime less people are buying something, you know, the old supply and demand theory, you're likely to see something become less expensive because no one wants it, and therefore there's more pieces on for sale, I guess, if you will, out there. And it'll urge the price down, so people start buying at a lower price. Okay, very possible. She gives this beautiful chart here. One, it shows the decline in value. My goodness, it lost half its value in the last 2 months or something like that. The slump comes at a time when Bitcoin struggles to regain the sky high value it achieved last year when it reached $20,000 in some major exchanges. Now it's down to a little better than 10. So. She quotes the guy. I'm sorry. I see. Here's where I read that. I knew I read that somewhere. In contrast, economist and Harvard professor Kenneth Rogoff told CNBC yesterday that Bitcoin prices are more likely to plunge to 100 a token in a few years once people wake up from their crypto haze. Someone else is claiming it's going to get to 320,000 a token. Well, okay. What do I think is really going on here? Well, I've said before, I'm not a Bitcoin expert. I've done a modicum of research in the issue. I find it problematic from a conspiratorial perspective. I don't like what's going on in the money arena because it looks more and more and more and more and more to me like the whole purpose is becoming to track people, and I don't like that. Not because I'm evil, not because I want to do devilish things, but just because I don't like to be tracked. I'm not an animal. I'm a human being, and I like the old-fashioned way. If I want to use cash and I get something for my money, or if I want to barter, I'll trade you my cup of sugar for your, I don't know, pair of boots, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with bartering or cash or anything else. And so I don't like the idea that they kind of push in there, insinuate in there, oh, yeah, only criminals are using cash. Oh, yeah. Now, by the way, now they're saying the same thing about Bitcoin. Apparently, cryptocurrencies are the haven of terrorists, supposedly. I don't buy that either. To me, the whole purpose of the cryptos and the blockchain and Bitcoin looks to me like a movement in money to further virtualize it and make it impossible to trade without the trade being known and recorded and monitored. And I don't like that. Okay. But that's not why I think Bitcoin's going down. I don't believe it's because it's the haven of terrorists. I don't believe it's because their trading volume is drying up. I believe it's something much simpler. What is the purpose of Bitcoin? Well, what's the purpose of any coin? Supposedly to act as a currency. Now, I know, listen, right now they're using it as purely a speculative investment. That's a different thing. So when I say Bitcoin, I'm talking about the actual purpose, not what it's become, which is a speculative play on some unknown thing that everyone thinks is going to be worth more and more and more and more and more in the future. That's not the same thing as the actual idea of Bitcoin. Bitcoin's purpose was supposedly an alternative currency, money, that would be a better facility of exchange because it wouldn't lose its value a la the Federal Reserve notes that they print by the click of a button. Okay, let's say that is the purpose of Bitcoin. Let's say Bitcoin has that utility. How can it possibly serve that utility when one day it's worth $20,000 and the next day it's worth $10,000? Or vice versa. Can you imagine if you had a Bitcoin when you thought it was worth a dollar, right? And so you gave 30 of them to the pizza guy when he dropped your pizza off. Now, how you do that, you don't really have coins. You have to send them through your Bit wallet. But the point is you gave the guy 30 bucks for your pizzas you ordered that night. And the smart little enterprising delivery guy took his 30 Bitcoins and stuck them in his Bit wallet and kept him for a year. And then he retired as a millionaire. I don't know, what's 30 times 20,000? Somebody, okay. He retired with a lot more money and you spent $600,000 on pizza. It's not serving the function of a currency. And because it's not, the utility is drying up and people are going, well, why would I want to hold this? And the only answer is, I'm speculating it's going to go to 100,000. It's at 20 now. I want to go 5 times. It's done already. It went from 1 to 10. It went from 10 to 100. It went from 100 to 1,000. Went from 1,000 to 10,000. It went from 10,000 to 20,000. That's why they're buying it, and people kept jumping in on a speculative game. That's not what – but that's the investment side of the idea. If you made money at it, great. God bless you. Good for you. I'm happy for you. But the purpose of Bitcoin cannot be materialized if this continues. Therefore, what other value does it have? Answer, none. People are starting to see that answer and going, I better get out. And the buyers are drying up. The sales price is going down because people want out and they can't get out. That's my theory. Again, I don't know anything about Bitcoin. I just know a little bit about investments and a little bit about the underlying need for the investment if you're investing in a business for it to have a use and be profitable, and Bitcoin's not. Okay, not saying it won't be. I know all you Bitcoin believers out there are going to be mad at me. Dave, you criticize my favorite investment. Well, if you believe, you know, if you want to hold on to Bitcoin in the hopes that somehow or another the blockchain and that currency process is going to finally come into fruition and have its full utility, fine. And I hope it ends up being a profitable trade for you. If you've already speculated and you were in it just purely for the speculation and you've gotten out, good for you. Because it looks like it's going to be harder and harder to get out going forward. Where does that leave us? Well, let's see here. Oh, I told you about the 9 states. Yeah, I did that. Making 70,000 still poor. I did that. What type of bit? Man, I've done a whole bunch of stuff. Did I tell you what my this day in financial history? I did not. I did not tell you this day in financial history. I better do that before the show is all over. You listen to the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. I am David Simpson, your host. Happy to be your host. Wishing I had some more participation in the show today because, you know what, my voice is wearing out, if you can't tell. But you want to call in David. I mean, you want to email me, david@tffco.com. You can call in the show or any show on the channel anytime you want, 844-527-8723. I thought this was kind of funny. This day in money history, actually today, what is this, March the 7th, a long time ago, 1876. So the 100th anniversary of America, right? Yeah, okay. Alexander Graham Bell receives the U.S. patent number 174465 for his improvement in telegraphy. That's telegraphy for all you people who prefer different emphasis points. Telegraphy. Bell makes his break. So basically, you know what Bell did, right? He introduced the telephone. All they were used to was the telegraph. And he says, hey, I got a better way. Listen to how he described it. You know, you want to talk about whether or not people were smarter in years past than they are today? Listen to this. Bell makes his breakthrough sound about as exciting as getting your shoes polished. Quote, so this is apparently on the patent application. My present invention consists in the employment of a vibratory or undulatory current of electricity in contradistinction to a merely intermittent or pulsatory current, and of a method of an apparatus for producing electrical undulations upon the line wire. That's the telephone. That's actually sending voice over line. And, well, did it sound like that to you? But, you know, obviously the patent office would have been smart enough to figure it out. But anyway, I'm of the firm belief that we're, like, a lot stupider than people in the past. And yet we keep telling ourselves that we're progressing. We're progress. We're the best people on the ever on the planet. I bet you if I brought this description in to someone, they'd say, I have no idea what you're talking about. My present invention consist in the employment of a vibratory or undulatory current of electricity, in contradistinction to a merely intermittent or pulsatory current, and of a method of and apparatus for producing electrical undulations upon the line wire. Close quote. Well, one thing we are sure of from this day in money history, we know the telephone changed everything in human life forever. So whether or not Alexander Graham Bell fairly described his magical invention, he had a winner on his hands. 844-527-8723. I'm rapidly running out of time here on the True Money Show. I come to you this day and every day, 3 to 5 o'clock on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Don't forget to tune into the shows later on this evening. We have Mike Church and Brother Andre Marie continuing their philosophy and now apologetics course at 6 o'clock. And then, Brother Andre has his wonderful show, Reconquest, on at 7 o'clock. The Crusade Channel is part of the Veritas Radio Network. It's a full-on radio station, not podcasting. We are broadcasting. And we're available to be called into. We're available to shop our store. You can get clothing from us that announces your love and devotion for the Crusade Channel and many other things. We have the beautiful flag, the Carillon de Sacre Coeur, all of Mike's books, my own book, Financial Sanity and Three Easy Lessons. Don't just tune to the station. Peruse the whole network. Peruse what we have available to you. Pass it around and generate all the interest you can for this little station that could establish truth in broadcasting. You don't get it anywhere else. If you don't trust the liberal media, don't listen to them anymore. Listen to us. And by the way, confession, Mike and I are wrong on occasion. No, we know we get wrong, and we're in a search for the truth too. So if you know something we say that's wrong, guess what? The phone number is 844-527-8723. I believe Mike and I both, and so would Greg Carpenter, and so would Barrett and Brother Andre and the whole shebang. Everyone would take the correction with humble and gentlemanly style and say, "Well, thank you very much. I now know more than I knew yesterday." I have my financial question of the day. This is how we'll close up the show. Got about 5 minutes left to talk about what's the most important thing, right? I ask you, is it health? Is it wealth? What is it? What's the most important thing in your life? Mama Bear responded, the salvation of her soul and God. Couldn't argue with her. Won't even attempt. Of course. Yes. 100%. A+. Best answer. I'm going to skip that answer. Not because it's not right, but because I want to look at it from a purely temporal, worldly perspective, just for a minute. In other words, on the worldly level, is money the most important thing? Let's talk about the really sad case of Lisa Marie Presley. Yes, Elvis's daughter, right? I'm just going to hit a few high points because I'm going to run out of time. Here's one point. From her father's death when she was 9, are parents more important than money? I bet you Lisa Marie would say yes. I mean, the trauma of losing your dad. I'm not saying, look, sometimes you got to get by without a parent. And I'm not excusing what later on happened to her or her own problems because of her losing her dad. Many people have lost their parents and become out to be banner people nonetheless. But I'm just asking the question, what's most important in life, health, wealth, or what? She lost her father when she was 9. Are parents more important than money? What about good parents? I'd say you betcha. This led to early substance abuse issues. What about that? What about being well-adjusted? Having a character that doesn't need some type of stimulus or depressant or something to make you feel better about yourself. Let's do a little history here. Do you know that Lisa Marie inherited her father's estate worth an estimated $100 million? She got all that when she was 25 years old. Of course, they had Graceland, and the business continued to make approximately $40 million a year. In 2005, after some bad business moves, she decided to sell an 85% stake in Elvis Presley Enterprises. So she did. And she was paid about $100 million, not all cash. She got $53 million in cash, and the rest was erasing of some debt, $25 million in debt that she owed. But she also got stock worth $20 million. She still has, of course, 15% ownership in Graceland or Elvis Presley Enterprises. So this is a person who's got money out the wazoo, right? And so far, I found two things that she probably liked more than her money: her parents and well-adjusted, no addictions. What about this? Right now, she's in the middle of multiple legal battles. The first is with Michael Lockwood, whom she announced she was divorcing in June 2016 after a decade of marriage. I think this is, I don't remember how many marriages this is for her. How about a good marriage? Would that have been worse than that? How much do you think she lost in every marriage that broke up? My Lord. Of course, her addictions probably led to all the marriages breaking up. So again, well-adjusted, not having addictions would be something more important than money, right? She admits to abusing cocaine terribly during the last few years of her marriage and mixing alcohol and pills. The last 3 years, I've had to go to rehab several times, somewhere between 3 and 5 stints in a Mexican treatment facility. How about this? She's also suing a former business manager, Barry Siegel, who alleges she squandered $100 million of her fortune, leaving her with $14,000 in cash and $500,000 in credit card debt and a mansion in England being foreclosed upon. I bet you she would say that real friends and real professionals were more important than money. So far, we've got parents, good parents, but more important. No addictions being well-adjusted in life, a good marriage being more important than money, and real friends and real professionals. I'll give you one more. So she's in this fight with Barry Siegel, her former manager, in a lawsuit. She's in a lawsuit with her former husband. They, by the way, of course, claim all of her erratic behavior and drugs is the reason she's in trouble, not them, which may be true. I'm not claiming who's right or wrong in this case. I'm sure it's just wrong all around. But she's in lawsuits. What about no legal trouble? What about no lawsuits being more important than money? Mama Bear, you gave the perfect answer. God and salvation, most important thing by far. But even on the natural plane, I'd say these five things and a host more are more important than money. Good parents, being well-adjusted, feeling good about yourself, having a good marriage, real friends and real professionals who help and serve you and love you, no legal trouble, no lawsuits, it's just a normal life. Maybe we throw into the mix here, no publicity, no popularity. I just want to live without people gawking at me all the time. What's more important? I would say a whole bunch of things more important than money. So why do I have a true money show? Because unless I can convince you of that, because we made money into the most important thing, we made materialism into the most important thing, unless I can convince you of it and get you off of that track, then we'll make no headway as a country or a society or a community. None. Because our focus is wrong. Guys, thanks for listening to the True Money Show. I am David Simpson, your host here every day from 3 to 5. Tune in again. Don't forget to listen to Brother Andre and Mike tonight and then Brother Andre's Reconquest at 7 o'clock. I'll be back here tomorrow, 3 to 5. You can tune in anytime you want. Mike Church Show, first thing in the morning, first guy up. Get you all juiced up, ready to go right here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels, Crusade.
Okay, Coconut Man.